going to have to spend some time taking a look at this book.
Yes, sir. I went over it and I studied it, examined it, and analyzed it. And in order to do what I believe the good senator wants done, it would take considerable time and effort. And I know that she's anxious to get it moving. And knowing the process itself, that possibly I could tell her the things that should be done in the committee and the next committee of reference, and she could probably make the recommendations to them.
It does have two additional referrals.
Right, that was the reason.
Judiciary and finance.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Betty Farron Kaplan, Senator from Fairfax. I have received, since the last time I'm talking to you, copies of seven pieces of legislation from other areas as well that address in different forms the questions have been brought up. We have a committee working on it. We'll have a committee substitute for the next committee referral. I would appreciate it if it just be moved along so we do have a chance to get it moved before the session. That's your question.
There was one concern that we did have that we had pointed out in here, and that was the section there where it listed the administrative law journal.
Should we say administrative journal?
Administrative journal.
Yes.
Say Alaska administrative journal.
Alaska administrative journal.
Yeah,
we'll open the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee meeting with the quorum established here with the presence of Senator Ray, Senator Elias, and Senator Jarrah. And we have before us a committee substitute for Senate Bill 429. And the bill had been placed earlier in a subcommittee. Senator Ray was looking at it. And the sponsor of the bill has requested some action be taken with the bill. Due to the lateness of the session and the complexity of the issue, Senator Ray's recommendation is that we bring the bill back to the committee and take further action either by doing additional work or forwarding it on to the Judiciary Committee, which is the next referral, followed by the Finance Committee. And it's my recommendation that we forward the bill. We made some changes to it, and that we further the bill onto the Judiciary Committee for additional work, since the sponsor of the bill and staff and administration is working on the bill, that we go ahead and move it on at this time, looking at the other work pending before the committee. And if there is no objection to that, I'd be looking forward to a motion.
I would move, Mr. Chairman, that we put out a committee substitute out of this committee with the individual recommendations.
Unanimous consent?
Yes, sir.
Any objection? Okay, we will forward out of the committee a committee substitute for Senate Bill 429 to the Judiciary Committee, and recommend that the sponsor continue to work on the bill with the Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I thank the committee, and I apologize to the committee for the... I usually do my homework. I was a little short of this.
And we want to thank Mr. Peterson there for his work on the bill and assistance, and forward your efforts on also to the Judiciary Committee. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, we have now before us Senate Bill 426. It was sponsored by Senator Coghill. The intent of the legislation is to expand the economic deregulation provisions for utilities with fewer than 250 subscribers. And it also proposed the APUC from combining the revenue or subscriber numbers of different utilities owned by the same company when determining this exemption. And we have before us a member from Senator Coghill's staff, Elizabeth Ziegler.
Yes.
If you could just very quickly run us through the intent of the sponsor, please.
For the record, my name is Elizabeth Ziegler, and I'm Senator Coghill's aide. Senator, thanks to the chairman for hearing this bill today. Due to a prior commitment, Fairbanks. He's unable to attend.
I'm going to speak up because we're getting some interference from outside.
Senator Coghill believes that the economic regulation of small power and telephone utilities is not in the best interest of the consumer or the utility operator. After speaking with 5 owners of small utilities representing 15 operations, it's apparent that the cost associated with compliance, such as rate hearings and annual reports, passes on to the consumer unreasonable increases. For example, one utility calculates its annual cost of compliance at between $40,000 and $60,000 a year. Another estimates that a rate case that took over an 18-month period costs more than $180,000. And presently, a rate case is going on that's cost $26,000 so far. Senator Coghill believes that it is necessary to balance the need for regulation against the burden to the operator and the cost to the consumer. One of the operators that we spoke to estimated that about $400 per subscriber has been passed on to his customers in a little over a year. These costs are made up of attorney's fees, consultants, and accountant fees. None of the utility owners we spoke to objected to retaining the statutes dealing with safety and maintenance of their facilities. And we do not object to the retention of any laws that govern safety and maintenance. But the utility owners intend is to sell their services based on normal business considerations and not on hikes predicated on an inflated rate caused by the regulation. Senator Coghill thinks that the economic regulation should be controlled on the local level. Under SB 426, a petition signed by 25% of the subscribers will commence regulation. Nationally, other states have deregulated or substantially eased the regulatory burden of small utilities. Presently, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska have done so, and legislatures in Utah and Virginia are considering the issue. He believes that with state revenues as they are, it makes sense to fashion ways in which we can cut down on administrative costs and attempt to lower costs to the consumer related to the administrative costs. Thank you. I'm available for any questions.
Okay. Do you have any indication as to which utilities would then be exempt from this?
Not on the number value. I do not have that, but I can get that for you. I have 83 utility figures that show us economic amounts, but not all of the subscriber amounts.
Okay, that fall under the gross $50,000 in?
Some of the ones that we're speaking about gross over $50,000.
Okay, but fall under the subscriber amount?
Yes. An example in my 83 figures would show that Northern Power, I have a number of them here, if you'd like me to get them for the committee.
Okay, you mentioned a total of 83?
No, it's not.
My figures are from 83. There are approximately 80 phone and power companies that would be exempted under this.
Okay. Are there any questions, Senator Ray?
No. I see the original measure had 750 subscribers. That seemed to be quite a few. What was the idea of cutting it down to 250? Is this because it would cover too many people?
It covered too many people, and the dollar amount was much too high. His intent was to assist many of the small rural communities that having to pay the administrative cost.
And the new sentence here about the commission not combining the revenue or the subscribers, have they tried to use that as a subterfuge in the past so that they would go above the $50,000 gross? Is that it, or are you just anticipating?
Well, that was a concern of some of the utility operators who own more than one facility.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Did Dellingham fit in that? That list there, I would probably want to say no. I would suspect that their gross revenue exceeds that, and that they have more than 250. But that would be an example. I believe they have a telephone utility and a power utility. And if you did, that would be a combination of both to put them under this exemption.
I do not see Dillingham on.
Okay, I suspect that probably Nooshigak.
Do we have anybody from the commission here?
Is there anybody here from the department to speak on behalf of this? Is there anyone else here to give any comment or testimony?
I just found Nooshigak, and they had In 83, they had 879 subscribers.
Okay, so they would be...
They would not be in this bill.
We did request of the department their presence and are notified through notification that the bill was going to be before us today.
We are not opposed to changing the bill in form. We are aware of the
I guess the concern that I would have, I would want to know what the impact would be on 250 subscribers or the $50,000 range, but it's difficult to acquire that information. I wouldn't expect the sponsor of the bill to have that. I would expect that the department would be here to either speak for or against the concept of the bill and to give us reasons for that. Senator Elias?
Yeah, I have a little problem with that. $50,000 or $250,000, they don't seem to jive. If you figure that that each subscriber averages $200 a year, which is very reasonable, that would only be $50,000. So those numbers aren't compatible.
It's a concern of ours, too, that we would change it in form to the department felt that the monetary amount and subscribers didn't jive well.
They thought that way also.
We'd be willing to work with the committee to come to
okay. Another question. Hey, this is more of a, is there anybody from the legal department here?
Anybody
draft
here?
The bill? What is this? Are we the ones that work on Friday afternoon?
Must be, I guess.
Well, the question I had is that they're not. We've taken a bill and just added an amendment onto it, and I don't know if the language is compatible, notwithstanding any other provision of this chapter, an electric or telephone utility that does not gross $50,000 or this or 250 subscribers is exempt. However, if they're exempt, 25% of the subscribers may petition Commission for Regulation, but then when they do that, they're still exempt because it's not withstanding any other provision. So, is that compatible?
That's existing language.
I know it's existing language, but the existing language doesn't
we can change that. I mean,
existing language doesn't give exemptions.
I don't see anything wrong with it, Dick.
That was a legal question I had. If we're saying one thing and then we're back into it again. Or whether the 25% would override the notwithstanding provision. I don't know.
I think your point on the $50,000 is very proper.
Give me 50% batting average today, then?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like you're saying, at $200 a year, which is what?
That's more like $200 a month.
Well, I mean, $200 a year would be, what, $15 a month?
Yeah.
And there's that is existing, though. $15 a month.
That 50,000 is existing.
Yeah, but I mean, we're putting in the subscribers is what I'm talking about.
So what, are you trying to calculate the what the number of subscribers would be in relationship to the 50,000?
Well, yeah, that would be considerably more than, less than 250, because it's like $200 a year. 12 into 200 is what? 16, $17 a month. Wherever this is, I'd like to go.
Okay. do you think maybe you could have back for the committee on Wednesday? I was going to suggest Monday, but that would, with the weekend coming up, be difficult to acquire probably a lot of this information. So if we could have this back before the committee on Wednesday, looking at the relationship between the 50,000 and the 250 subscribers. And then also at that, and maybe if you can provide us with a list of those utilities that would fall within that range.
Yes.
And maybe if you could break out with both the electrical as well as the telephone, it would give us an idea of what we would be looking at. And then we'll also, I think, the time the bill comes up, we'll request that, again, that maybe get somebody from the legal division here and also somebody from the department.
Either raise the 50,000 up or lower the 250 to make it compatible one or the other.
Or else deal with one or the other. You don't have to have them both in there.
Well, that's
there are four different assumptions in the statute currently. This was just
take the 50,000 out.
We just say that if you don't gross more than 120,000 a year, you're out of exempt.
You don't have to just say if you have if you have less than 250 subscribers, forget about the gross.
You can do that too.
Yeah, I'd forget about the gross and just put the subscribers in.
Okay.
But then you have such fluctuating rates between small utilities.
But how about those that have 500 subscribers? They don't make $50,000 a year. They won't be exempt.
Yeah. Sure, Dick.
Okay, we will be having before us some extensive APUC legislation.
I thought maybe, you know, I was kind of distressed because Senator Elias wasn't here, but now I can see with advantage of just you and I being here together.
I didn't come back just to be here with you, I'll tell you.
I thought you